Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. They call them the terrible twos. That age where no comes to life. My children must have been a little slow because it was actually the terrible threes I found to be much worse than the twos. Because there are these stages in life we go through. There are these experiences that are fairly similar as growth takes place. And so we call them the terrible twos because a lot of people have that experience with their children at the age of two. But it's later on in life that things really kind of pick up speed. Their bodies start to change. And there's this thing, this hormonal imbalance that suddenly comes into being. And then they are adolescents. And they make the terrible twos sometimes look like a cakewalk. But that's the way it is. And any parent knows there are these different stages that you simply have to deal with and be able to try to counter and balance in a way to be able to help children grow up to be healthy, wholesome, good children. And so I'm always amazed when I hear that somebody for their life profession be a middle school teacher. I know. One of the joys of working away from the home was the fact that you could go away from the home. And they weren't there. And so there's a special gift, I think, that God endows on people to be able to do such things, because it takes a great deal of patience and creativity and energy to really do that sort of task well. And there aren't many people who would be willing to do it. Which then leads me to the question, and it's a loaded one, looking for volunteers to teach confirmation. Aha. So my second call was in Silver Spring, Maryland, St. Luke Lutheran Church. I was the associate pastor. I was the director of youth ministry there. One of the callings underneath all of that was confirmation ministry. We had approximately 120 children at the height of my time there for confirmation. And so, as you might imagine, it took more than just me. We called confirmation Super Tuesday, because it was held on Tuesdays, and it started about 3:30 in the afternoon. The kids came in. We had a study time. We had a rec time that was all built in depending on what the needs of the children were, along with snacks. That lasted till about 4:30. At 4:30, then, we broke into three different groups for 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, because this was an old thing before middle school, junior high school. And so we had large group meetings. The large group meeting would last approximately a half an hour, and then we would break those large groups up into smaller groups. Those smaller groups then were classes that lasted an hour and a half, and from those classes then we went to a mealtime. The mealtime, we served a full meal to all the people that were involved there, including the children, and then we closed with a worship service at 7:30. That was the day. I needed 12 adults to volunteer to teach confirmation class. So I asked. And like this room, many people sat on their hands. The one person who did not hesitate was Glenn Rosenquist. Glenn Rosenquist would probably be the last person I would think would or should volunteer. And it wasn't actually because of his personality, but rather it just had to do with what Glenn did. So Glenn and Pat were married for a number of years. They had 6 children. Now, on top of having 6 children, which seems to be somewhere around 3 to 4 children too many, because you're way outnumbered at that point with 6, he was a pediatrician. Not only was he a pediatrician, he was a cardiologist, a pediatric cardiologist. And not only was he a pediatric cardiologist, he was a research pediatric cardiologist. Did all 3 of those things in tandem. He had his own practice. He did surgery with kids, but he also worked through Johns Hopkins and the Children's Hospital of Washington, D.C., doing research. And Pat was a social worker in the prison system in D.C., which, let me tell you, could be a real hoot. And they're raising 6 children. And he's sitting there with his hand up in the air, saying, "I'll do this." He was tremendous. It was a tremendous family, actually, because the Rosenquists, all 6 of their children were so unique and so individual, but so gifted and so grounded and so caring and so loving. And it was amazing with all that was going on within their worlds in terms of the things that they did and the activity they had outside of their jobs and outside of their homes within the church and within the community, that they could have the time to raise the children the way they did. And yet they did. And Glenn was always there saying, "Pick me." He was a tremendous, tremendous man, and a wonderful confirmation teacher. He was a mentor to so many of those children as they grew up. He was a mentor to me also, because I just found him to be an incredible personality. 12 years ago, Glenn was diagnosed with ALS. And he lasted until this week, which is a long time for that horrible disease. And it really seemed to be really unfair. Not that that disease is fair to anyone, but unfair from the standpoint of, here was this man with so many gifts and so many talents and such a brilliant, furtive mind, and it all slowly just became locked away, held prisoner in a body that no longer functioned. And yet, despite the fact that his body wouldn't function anymore, he still had the ability to bring a smile to people's faces just through that sparkle that continued in his eye. And that life that he continued to live, even though it was in such a limited way. And I could tell that if he could, he would raise his hand and say, "Pick me." In today's Old Testament lesson, Isaiah stands before God in this vision, and he has this cross of a Glenn Rosenquist, Arnold Horshack moment where he raises his hand and he goes, "Ooh, ooh, ooh, pick me. I'll go." Glenn Rosenquist volunteered to teach confirmation class. He knew what he was getting himself into to a certain extent because it was very clear about what the task was going to be. And it was very clear that he was doing something a lot of people really had no interest in doing because of the challenges that were built within it and the time requirement that went into it, not only in terms of teaching the classes, but all that time to be able to prepare, to be able to give a good class. And that I found to be an amazing thing. Isaiah, I find to be an astonishing thing. Pick me. I'll go. As for one, yeah, I would be a little nervous standing in the presence of God if it was me. I would be thinking, woe is me, because this is the end, because that's the only time I expect to be standing in the presence of God. But when God throws out that open-ended sentence of, well, who am I going to send? I'm keeping my hands close to my side. Because first off, I want to know what it is exactly that God wants me to do. I'm not venture off to something that I don't have any idea what it's about, that God's going to go send me off to some foreign land where I don't speak the language and I don't do the things or that they do or understand the culture. I'm not going to go to a place that's going to put my life in danger. I'm not a brave man. I'm going to do those things that I want to do. I'm going to pick. I'm going to choose. And I'm going to say no if you ask me to do something that I don't want to do. And Isaiah says, pick me. I'll go. God asks us a lot of times whether we'll be willing to go. I don't know that we're going to be sitting in front of the seraphs and have all the holy, holy, holies going on when it's happening. But God will ask. God will ask you to do something in the form of somebody who looks a whole lot like me or whose voice sounds like me when I happen to call you on the phone. God will ask you when one of the ministry team leaders might call and say, we have this project going on and you seem to be the perfect fit. God might be calling you when somebody who looks a lot like Julianne Walker happens to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, I have this idea where you might be able to lend a hand. And when that happens, you're not going to be hearing, holy, 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 and there's not going to be angels flying around and nobody's going to put a hot coal to your lips or to your hands, or to the bottom of your feet to make you say yes. Well, Julianne might. But you see, the reality of all those situations is when one comes forth to be able to ask you to do something in the name of God, it is God who's asking you to do that. When one comes forth to you and says, we have people in the hospital who need to be visited or might need communion, that's God doing the asking. It really isn't me. When we put together a project within this community of faith and you're called to go out to be able to do something to help within that project, there is the voice of God saying, whom shall I send? When we go down to the Grace Kitchen and be able to help out, there is the voice of God once again saying, okay, your turn, get up, go. Or even when I call and I say, you want to help with confirmation? Because you see, these things really don't happen willy-nilly. We're not looking at a big bucket and pulling names out. It is through God's Spirit that we find we are called to make contact with people who have what we perceive to be the gifts and the abilities and the skills to be able to help out in areas they may never have considered before. And so it is God's Spirit reaching out to you. It is that voice of God calling you into action to be able to do whatever it might be within the name of this community of faith in which we live. There's a plethora of things going on around here, in case you hadn't noticed. And all those things only happen because of the involvement of the people of this congregation. And all we ask, all God asks, is to have a tenth of Isaiah's eagerness. You don't need to raise your hand before the question's asked and say, ooh, pick me, I'll go. Well, you can, and that would be great if you do, but I'm not saying you need to. But at least when you're asked, prayerfully consider. Don't dismiss things out of hand just because it doesn't seem to fit really well, or it's something I hadn't thought about, or I'm really not interested in doing something else. Because after all, it's going to mess my golf game up, because I got golf on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. Or as Lance's license plate bracket says, any day that ends in Y. But you see, when you're being asked, it is through God's Holy Spirit picking you for a reason. Not because you're a warm body, but because you're the right person. The right person blessed by God for whatever that task might be. The right person chosen to be able to use whatever God has blessed you with for the good of that particular role and task. You don't need to raise your hand and say, ooh, send me, wherever. But you need to say, okay, I'll give it some prayerful thought. Because when God comes a knocking, we really need to start walking, doing those things that God has asked us to do. Taking on those challenges that are placed before us. Utilizing all those blessings that we've been given for the good of this community of faith and for the good of the world in which we live. Whom shall I send? Consider saying, send me. Amen.